The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe, human world, galaxy. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for our final podcast of 2024. This will release, and it will already not be 2024 anymore, but... As yeah. recording, it is still 2024.
Yes. As you said that, I was like, last one recording, but yeah. first one listening. How often do we get to say that?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Only once this year.
It's true. And I would imagine we'd only get that chance to say that once next year, too.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to see.
Only one way to find out. Stay tuned. And with that... If you see Carmen walking down the street...
Happy New Year. Wait.
I think we missed. You know, I pulled out the tried and true dad joke of, all right, see you next year, already for a couple folks at work that I won't see tomorrow.
I don't know why you would say that's tried and true.
It's kind of like...
It's old and tired, I think is what you mean.
Tried and true.
Tired and terrible.
Speaking of... things that are incredible. Did you watch the movie Carry On with Jason Bateman?
No, but people keep saying it's really good. And that's like kind of surprising to me. But also you say like everything you watch is good. So
No.
Respectfully.
This was good. Jason Bateman and Taron Egerton? Egerton?
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish, but. I'm then going to berate you when you're done. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that's it. Go ahead. I'm done.
I don't understand why you're watching movies when you have so much private practice to be watching.
It's fair. But this was Jessica's idea to watch it. And do you really want me to tell Jessica no?
No, I want you to manage your own fucking time better. Like, literally just watch television on the train. I'm asking so little of you.
I'm currently in the middle of the, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Private Practice, skip ahead, do it. I haven't finished this episode, but I'm currently in the episode where Maya is supposed to get married. So I don't know if she gets married or not. I'm still in the episode.
Well, you'll probably never know, because you'll probably never finish it.
I'm going to finish it.
Oh, my God.
When I told you
about this, you had to watch less than a whole episode a day to get caught up on time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have done such a poor job.
But you were really trying.
You were in season 3 when I told you to start watching this.
Yeah.
You're still in season 3.
In my defense, I've watched three episodes.
There's no defense. You are bad at this.
I don't have time.
I have a
Grey's Anatomy podcast that I focus on.
That you're fucking up by not doing this assignment.
Worst case scenario is we take a week off of recording.
We've already done that too much.
Well, worst case scenario. All right, we got some shout outs. First off, I want to shout out Sarah. You sent me that meme reel of making sure to poop before midnight on December 31st. The quote being, you don't want to be carrying the same shit in the new year. Love that. Great meme. Want to shout out Renee. So Renee, I think, was a Patreon subscriber last week. Kerrigan was. Was Renee too? Was Renee a new Patreon patron?
No.
Renee is just incredible. I reached out to her. But Renee did a 5-star review for us on iTunes. So I want to read this out. And the title is, You Gave Me Syphilis. Five stars. I recently found this podcast and have been binge listening at work. I love this podcast. I love how authentic and honest the hosts are. Unpopular opinion, I love George O'Malley and always have. Heart emoji. I make no apologies for my George love. However, I can understand why some don't like him. Great job, and I look forward to future episodes. Renee, you're amazing. We love you. Thank you. And to Kerrigan, who is our new Patreon patron, I know for sure is in Patreon. We had a chance to chat and just want to shout you out. So thank you to everyone. So many other shout outs. We're trying to get on a more streamlined approach. So with that being said, I'm done. I bequeath the floor to you.
Thank you. I don't know that that's the right
word. Bequeath. Bestow.
Bequeath is a word, but I don't know that it's the correct word, but it might be. You can also say, I'll hand it
yes,
over to you.
Bequeath, to leave to a person or other beneficiary.
It's typically when you die. So if you die, yes, I will have the floor. The podcast will lose some of its oomph if you die. It'll just be me talking about episodes of Grey's Anatomy I've watched many times. Yes, and then I'll go, and then I think this is what Carmen would say.
Yeah.
Something stupid.
Oh. Well, I bestow upon you the mantle of... You get to talk now.
Well, we'll get this out of the way before we get started. Carmen had one correct prediction.
Ooh, child, Henry's gonna get dead.
He already is.
They I know, I predicted it.
Did you not watch this episode?
I predicted he was gonna die.
He is dead.
I predicted
Look what
he
I got
die.
For Christmas.
Wow. I was
it's
gonna
like
make
a smaller
very
version.
A very inappropriate joke about the word pocket,
this is,
but back.
For our audio listeners, which is everybody, this is, I have the Grey's Pocket Anatomy. So it's just a little concise guide of the Grey's Anatomy, not the show, like the actual medical book. So you open it and there's just drawings of the insides of bodies, and it's very unsettling.
And I drew them.
He didn't. He's never drawn anything. Look at this brain. Look at that brain. Look at that brain right there.
Look at that frontal lobe.
Where's that occipital lobe?
Occipital.
Temporal.
Femoral.
Optic. There's no femoral lobe. Sorry.
Femoral artery.
Anyways, did you have a nice Christmas?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Oh.
Saw my mom's side of the family for the first time in 13 years, so that was something, you know?
I'm still ill, so I will be sniffling and coughing, and I apologize. I no longer have a mute button on my interface, so I cannot mute myself while I do it. Jessica, I talked to her for a while today, and she said when she went to the chiropractor, she acupunctured her face, and just, like, all of her congestion was gone.
Yeah, but it's still like, all coming incredible. Out of her brain now, so it's...
That's fine, as long as you can breathe.
Yeah, she can breathe. Yeah, nice no, it was good. We saw my mom's side of the family got to meet Marlo for the first time, meet Jessica for the first time. That's the craziest thing is, like, we've been together for 13 years, and my mom's family is just meeting Jessica for the first time, so... but it was good. How about Christmas for you?
It was good, it was busy. We already decided next year we will not be leaving our home. We will invite a select number of people to our home, but we will not be leaving our home.
Mm-hmm.
It will be our last Christmas with like a first Christmas for a little baby. And I don't need to be traipsing around with like a 6 months old getting all kinds of germs for her. So we won't be doing that.
So what do you mean?
I'm going to have to like tell people now.
What do you mean last Christmas with a first Christmas?
Like we're not going to have another baby after this. So, like, it'll be our last first Christmas for a baby.
I thought...
Like our last time being like, it's her first Christmas. Whoa.
I thought you guys were shooting for 4.
I would not be opposed to it, but I have been vetoed, which is probably the best choice. Because, A, I do not enjoy the pregnancy stage. And, B, these kids be expensive. And this economy be shit.
Yeah.
And, C... I will be
old by standards of pregnancy.
Yeah. And D,
when you hit 35 is when they go, you're old now. Also, we would just, that's like a lot of children in not enough house.
Yeah. And D is nuts.
I saw a sticker on a truck, a work truck. That it was the Aldi symbol and it said Aldi's nuts. And I was like, I don't like that.
I love
like
it.
Aldi.
Man, Aldi's nuts are good though. Yeah. So, all right. Let's, were there any other shout outs? Any emails? Anything that came through? Anything else we want
to? Shout out to Joe. Give him emails. We talked a little bit about Wicked. He sent me a Christmas card in the mail because he's the best. And he's great. Joe and Charlotte, shout out. Charlotte doesn't listen, but I'm going to tell. I feel that Joe will tell her she got a shout out.
You know, for Christmas, all we need, everyone, is if you haven't done an iTunes review or a Spotify 5-star, we'd love for you to do that. Also, wait, hold on. This episode's going to be out on the 2nd?
Yeah.
Should we also make the big announcement for first-time listeners, just in case?
Yes.
Are we locked into this? I think we...
You keep doing this thing where you act like it's a secret, and it's just like we've been talking about it so much. It's simply not a secret.
All right. GraysAcademyPod.com will be live for 24 hours at this point. So go there and favorite it. Put a star there. Now it's in existence. Now it has to be the best. Merchandise is on the website. Merchandise is there. It's all merchandise, listening, streaming, pictures of Kelsey and me. It's amazing.
Separately, not together.
Oh, yes.
Some together, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. This is the 9th episode of the 8th season. It is the 157th episode overall. It is called Dark Was the Night. And that is a song.
Dark Was the Night is a song, and it is, hold on.
You're doing amazing.
Sorry, my pages are gone. Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, here it is, is a gospel blues song written by Blind Willie Johnson. I don't know if Blind is actually his first name and Willie is his last name, or Blind is a term of endearment, or if he was truly blind. I didn't do enough research on that. But this was recorded in 1927, and the song is a mostly instrumental song. I think the first time I heard it was... I think it was a background track, or it was used in Walk the Line. I think in one of the opening scenes of Walk the Line, the Joaquin Phoenix River Reese Witherspoon movie about Johnny Cash. So I haven't had a chance to go and double check that. If anyone out there wants to double check that, you can. But this song did not chart, and this song did not make it to my iTunes library.
He was not born blind, but he was visually impaired at an early age. It is uncertain how he lost his sight, but it is generally agreed upon that he was blinded by his stepmother. Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, stepmom. Was it the Disney one? The evil stepmom?
No, it was a real one.
A real evil stepmom.
Anyways, his name is Willie Johnson. That was his birth name.
Maybe Willie and Johnson both had different meanings back then. Or maybe the stepmom named them. Well, that, I guess that wouldn't be stepmom. It'd be the mom. Anyways,
are you done? That's
back to you. It's a one. It's a one from me. No offense, Blind Willie.
This episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by Alice and Liddy Brown, both of whom we've seen multiple times before. It aired November 10th, 2011 to 11.29 million views. So up quite a bit from what we've been seeing, back up in those double digits.
Yes.
And it is absolutely because they promoed this, like Meredith and Alex were going to die.
Oh.
They fully promote it, like kind of showing the wreck and being like, we don't both have to die. And then cutting to Christina, like having her freak out. And then just like, yeah, they promote it like Alex or Meredith or both were dying. So that's for sure why people were tuning in. Also, like I said previously, this was a mid-season finale. So this aired November 10th and the next episode did not air till like February 3rd or something.
That sucks.
Yeah, I remember watching it and being like, well, fuck me.
So what's crazy is, so obviously this is the episode where Henry is deceased. He is.
Yeah.
That's a wrap. That's a season. That's a series wrap on that guy.
I am no longer going to say anything is a series wrap because I have series wrapped a character on this podcast who has in the current season of Grey's Anatomy showed back up. So I can no longer series wrap people.
Oh,
and okay. as the show is still creating new episodes, I will no longer be series wrapping people.
Is it Katherine Heigl?
I will no longer be series wrapping people. Anyways, wow. So yes, Henry died.
That's my prediction. I said Henry's going to die in the next couple
you
of episodes.
You said he would die either this episode or the next one. So you were not specific enough, but I'll give it to you because I fear that you have nothing. So to give you something.
Wow. My gosh. She fears I have nothing.
I'm so funny.
What's the matter with you? This is how Kelsey breaks the news that right now, as I record, Jessica and Marlo have left me. They've taken the van.
They packed the car. They're coming to live with me now. They're fleeing all the state because they don't like you at all.
They've got all of my favorite personal belongings. They've taken all the credit cards.
Took all the shoes. We'll immediately be selling them.
All of the riches of gold and jewelry stores in our house that we have.
Yep. That new furnace. She's bringing that too. You're going to be cold and alone.
My gosh.
Anyways. Okay. So yeah, you predicted that. Anything else?
Yeah, no, I feel really good about that. I don't think he's going to wake up from the operating table. I think he's toast. I'm going to officially predict that Henry died on the operating table.
All right, well, I guess you'll have something next week, too.
Yeah. So this...
Let me read the Netflix synopsis.
Do the thing where you do it.
Teddy is called away on another case as Henry is brought in for surgery. And that was Netflix and Hulu. So pretty concise. Doesn't really mention that Alex and Meredith are stranded in the middle of nowhere or that there's a pretty big development in the Zola situation. But other than that, let's say the main focus of the episode is the Henry situation.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the scene where Christina walks in. I don't know if we want to talk about Henry first, but I need to get this off my chest. I didn't actually think Henry was going to die when I was watching this until he physically was dead. Because when
you didn't
Christina
think they'd do that
is,
to Christina?
Well, no, I didn't think
fucked up.
I didn't think that, but like Weber was so calm throughout the whole thing, which yeah. obviously is like he has to, right? He's yeah. playing the part. But when Christina's like, I can shave a half hour off. I'm gonna time myself. And Weber's mm-hmm. like, all right, cool. Guys, get the timer going. And I was like, okay. He's too calm. Everything is gonna be all right. And then it just was the opposite.
Simply was not. Yeah. We'll just start with Henry because that's what the episode opens on. Last episode ended on Henry coughing up blood. This episode opens with Henry coughing up blood, but now we're in the hospital and he's being doted on by Bailey and Owen. Teddy's also there. Obviously she's upset. She's like trying to kind of update them on like his most recent like doctor visits and everything. She's upset. She's shaking like normal reaction, like valid. She's upset. She doesn't want him to be dying, and he unfortunately is. Also, the voiceover for this one, it sticks with me a lot because I complain about things a lot. I'm really good at complaining about stuff. And Meredith's like, I had a terrible day. We say it like for the dumbest shit. Like we say it if we get stuck in traffic or like we stub our toe. And then like actual terrible things happen and you're like, shit, I would love to be stuck in traffic right now. It would be so much more better than this.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was, this was a potent opening scene.
This was a good, I mean, it's a good, definitely a big cliffhanger mid-season episode for sure. I mean, yeah, I remember watching it. I remember that last shot when they get out of the ambulance and I'm like, there's just dead people everywhere. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, very intense. But even the opening, it was they kind of come at you fast. They throw a lot of
Henry's
calls.
Not well.
No.
Immediately, no. You're like, oh no, it's not good.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's also bad when they start to throw the comedic timing at you. Like when Henry says, oh, she doesn't like me being in the hospital, it makes you wonder why she married a guy with chronic illness. And Owen's just like, what a masochist. Like,
all the doctors are like uncomfortably trying to like lean into the patient humor. And I'm like, oh, no, they all know that it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like there's not a single good thing that's happening around that open. So you're having like this montage of them.
Yeah.
There's a kid that gets admitted who got like half his face
mauled
bitten off
by a dog.
Meredith, Christina, and Alex are at the bar. And you know when the episode starts with them at the bar, it's like, okay, this only goes downhill. We get the Janet news, the Zola news. Yeah, everything just kind of comes at like just super, super fast.
Yeah, they really set up at the beginning of this episode a lot to happen. And I would say a lot does happen. However, a lot does not finish happening. A lot is in the middle of happening when the episode ends. Yeah. The only thing that we kind of have finished is Henry, but not really because Teddy doesn't know that he's dead.
Yeah, and she also doesn't know that Christina killed him.
There's nothing good. No. Like, again, that part of the story is finished, but that story is absolutely not finished. Obviously, we know that Meredith and Alex are alive, but they're not in the best predicament.
Also, they're not out of the truck.
They are now.
Did they actually get out? I thought they were like in the threshold of the truck. Just like
no, Meredith like steps onto the road and then she like looks up and she's like, oh, fuck. Dead people everywhere.
I thought the end of the episode was going to be Meredith getting out and Alex going, oh, shoot, I forgot something. I got to go back and get it. And then it explodes.
And it exploding. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
But then when they saw the three other dead bodies, I was like, they can't really pile it on more, could they?
Yeah.
Like
they don't have enough going on with this tiny little baby that is not well.
Yeah. Imagine the three dead bodies and then Alex goes back in to get something and then the ambulance
explodes.
And then
it's just Meredith and the baby.
Yeah.
And all the dead bodies.
I should be writing for Shonda.
Honestly. Okay. So let's start with our Henry situation. It's bad. So Henry's unwell. They call in Richard because obviously he's been Henry's doctor since like the beginning. So they call Richard down. Richard is very like transparent with Teddy and is like, this is what I'm going to do. And Teddy's like, I'm coming with you. And he's like, absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way. And she asks when they're in the CT, she's like, are you doing with or without contrast? And he's like, which would you prefer? And she says both. And he's like, I'll do both then. Like, it's very... like they know that this is like the worst possible situation she could be in. Like her husband is ill. Her husband is in their hospital for bad reasons. They're going to keep her in the loop. So they have this, Teddy and Henry have a moment before he goes in for CT where she's like, I'm so sorry that I said your dreams were stupid and terrible. And, you should definitely go to med school and I love you forever. Which if that's not like a nail in the coffin, I don't know what is.
Yeah, right.
So
it's also funny when he's like, you know, what was the exact quote that he said? That's why I puked up blood is, you know.
Oh, yes. Because so I could win the fight. I was like, that's a Carmen thing.
Yeah, I was rooting for them. I even made a note that says this is a cute scene and I'm rooting for them. I put it I put it there. I noted that timestamp.
Yep. So Teddy gets paged to the ER for the Cali patient, which we'll get to. And Richard's like, go, like, I will keep you in the loop. I will keep you updated. We don't both need to stand here and wait for this computer to load. Of course, as soon as it loads, he's like, fuck, this is a nightmare. So they're taking Callie's patient up to the OR, and Richard jumps in the elevator and shows Teddy the scans. And it's a tumor, like a cancerous tumor, a carcinoid tumor. I don't remember what they kept saying. It was a tumor, several tumors, because, you know, of the tumor disease that he has. And, okay, endobronchial carcinoid tumor. So it's like the tumor is like eroding through his something. Bronchial it tubes, is, I guess.
Yeah. What did she say? She says it later on.
Well, later Christina says that the tumor has eroded through his pulmonary artery, but they don't see that part on the scan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they just see that it's like on the like upper area, I think. Like closer with the tumor in the lung.
Yeah.
But they don't know that it's like also basically going through his heart as well.
Yeah.
So Teddy's like, oh, I'd really prefer this done with a laser, because Richard says he'll do it. And Teddy's like, oh, I'd prefer you do it with a laser. And he's like, I've never done that, and I don't want my first time to be on Henry. And this is very like a straightforward conversation. And it looks like Teddy's afraid of like offending Richard, but I really don't ever think he's offended at any point during this.
I also
he's like, I
that
understand
much.
That you prefer, he was like, I'm not going to argue with you that the recovery time is less if I don't crack his chest. Like that clear, like duh. And he's like, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. If you want someone who can do it, that's fine. Owen is obviously hesitant about the Christina involvement. I think really everyone is hesitant except for Teddy.
Even Bailey is like, or what does she say? Teddy goes, he's scowling. And Bailey goes, yeah, so am I, lady.
Yeah, it's like, it's her mentor. It's her mentor's husband. Like, it's bad. Like, let's
it's sticky
not
everywhere.
Do this. It's messy. And Teddy's like, no, she won't care. Like, she'll be able to do it. I just did one with her last week. She did the whole thing basically by herself. She's super. Just don't tell her who it is. It'll be fine. So they all conspire to lie to her.
Which
her colleagues, her peers, and her husband conspire to lie to her.
Yeah. Teddy,
and
Owen,
it goes swimmingly.
Weber. Lexi, Bailey, the entire surgical team.
I think April would kind of be in on it too, because she's in Teddy's surgery, so she must know.
You know,
obviously she doesn't know that Henry dies, but she knows that they're not telling Christina that it's Henry.
And the sad thing about all of this, like obviously the conspiring thing, not good. The Henry dying thing, not good. The sad thing about all this is think about how far Weber has come. Remember when he dragged Teddy for marrying Henry, and now he's like trying to save his life with everything that he has. And like he's really living. He's fully invested in the lie, and I respect it.
Yeah. I mean, they're being respectful of her wishes, but they're also like, but this is just the worst idea you've ever had in your life.
And it's not even close, Teddy.
So it's just stressful the whole time that you watch it. The whole time that Christina like isn't nervous is stressful. But I also don't want her to be nervous, because then it's like PTSD to the Derek situation with the gun on her head. And so it's like there's no right answer other than don't make her do it. Like that's the right answer.
Yeah. And I'm actually shocked they didn't even bring that as a callback of course she can handle it. She operated on Derek, which is her best friend's husband, at gunpoint in the middle of a mass shooting. She can do this. This is a piece of cake.
This is casual. Yeah, it's just not great.
It's messy. It's just messy.
It's
and
very messy. It's stressful. It's unsettling. We're unsettled. I know it's a good episode, but I was dreading watching it because it's hard to watch knowing what's coming. And especially being a Christina fan, just being like, oh God, everything's terrible.
I know what happens next and I hate it. And it's a bummer. Every single scene that they have together, this whole episode is cute and funny. And they have this banter. And also,
well, and like even the last couple episodes leading up to it, like the baseball episode, the episode where she brings him to the hospital to watch her work, like
they really
hit you in the face with it right before they rip it out from under you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's on par.
I didn't love that when they had that scene and Teddy says that she loves you and Henry said, yeah, same. Bro, what's wrong with you? Just say I love you too.
Well, he can't because obviously, like, it's like taking for granted that you get to say it. You know what I mean? Like, they have to be like, oh. It's like when someone says, love you, and they go, you too. Like, you're not saying it. You need to say it right.
No, I always say, I always say, love you too.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick break from our regional sponsors. Let's hear some messages about capitalism in this holiday season. And we will come right back and talk about the scene with Lexi and Henry, because that was yikes on bikes. We'll be right back.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And we are back. Speaking of bikes, Marla got a bike for Christmas.
Cute.
Granted, it's a full-size adult motocross bike, but and I'll be using it exclusively, but she got it for Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you have a plan.
All right. Do you want to take us through that scene with Lexi and Henry, or should I?
So Lexi's in there, and she's talking to Henry, and he's like, oh, I want to tell you something stupid. I want to go to medical school. And she's like, no, that's great. And Henry says that Teddy is upset about it. And she goes, well, you know, like, we've lived through it. We know it's really hard. You know, and this job is hard on relationships. And he's like, no, but like, you have Jackson and he's so great. And she's like, oh, we're not together. And he's like, oh, you have Mark Sloan. He's so great. And she's like, we're not together. And then he's
so
like,
wing and a miss,
doing
ex-baseball
my
player. Yeah. Oh, so bad.
Hard pivot. Hard pivot, hard shift. Awkward.
And that's when Lexi also joins the line. It's like, I don't know. Someone's going to do your surgery.
I actually don't know a person. Know. Although I'm like, why can't they tell him? Because it's not like he's going to tell Christina.
Well, I guess he could tell Teddy. But how, I guess? He jumps Teddy up knows. And runs away and goes.
What do you mean he's going to tell Teddy? Teddy knows.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Teddy just doesn't know that he died.
Right.
I was like, I know there's some sort of secret between Henry and Teddy. Oh, yeah. It's the whole dead thing.
It's the whole I'm no longer alive. I haven't told you yet. So then, Teddy calls, Henry calls Teddy in the OR. And he's like, so sorry that she's like, I'm so sorry I can't be there, but I'll be there post-op, don't ask for extra drugs. Bye. Then Owen goes to tell Christina to do the surgery, and he's like, I don't want to do that. That sounds dumb. I don't give a shit about that. And he's like,
I just did that last week. And I am not Teddy's valet. Okay.
I'm sorry, I have so many sniffles, and Carmen will not be editing them out.
Nope. I think it adds character.
I hate it, but I'm so sorry to all of you who also hate it, which is probably most of you, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Like the random times where I just go into the microphone. Like, I'm not going to edit that out.
I don't know that that's the same, but okay. Derek and Chris.
Can I tell you a story?
Okay. Yeah.
I see the Catan box next to you. Uh-huh. I taught Steve and Kristen Cities and Nights. And Steve just wanted to be a douche bucket the whole game. And he didn't understand.
Zero.
Yeah. He didn't understand that the first couple of times the knights or the barbarians hit, you kind of want to protect each other. Like that first, those first couple of times.
It will fuck the whole game over if you don't have a city.
That's what I was trying to explain to him. And I'm like, dude, listen, you're about to cause two people with your move to lose cities. Two of which are pumping a lot of wood and brick economy into this game. You need to let this lie. And he's like, well, how does it benefit me? And I was like, if you don't understand what I just told you.
The way I just explained it. You fucking moron.
You need to just understand the simple premise of economy. And you will understand.
Trickle down economics.
Yeah, trickle down. We love them trickle down economics. Wow, I can't talk. Them triple down economics. Up, trickle down economics. My gosh. But yeah, he just didn't understand. And he kept asking, how does this benefit me? And I was like, it's too early in the game to do the thing you're trying to do.
Do you just look at them in the face and be like, fucking Republican, why is the question, how does this benefit me? Fucking Republican asshole.
Well, actually, I think he did vote Democrat, actually.
Yeah, well, then tell him to act like it in real life. Don't be I will only do something if it benefits me, and then say that you're a Democrat. Don't do that shit. Not That's on fair. My watch.
That's fair. Speaking of, Democrats, rest in peace, Jimmy Carter.
R.I.P. Only good news is the flag has to fly at half mast through the entire month of January, so it will be at half mast for Inauguration Day.
Because as hashtag death of America.
So true. Okay. Okay. Do-dly-do-do-do. Oh,
so
Derek
Christina. That's when she's
into each other in the hallway.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Before that, that's when she says, this is so boring. I'm going to time myself. And
Nope. Mm-hmm. That's after what I'm saying. Because they're in the hallway, which would be before the surgery.
I missed it. All right. But you're the professor. I'm the mere pleb student.
So Derek and Christina have a run-in in the hallway. And I actually really like this moment. And I do think it's very introspective of Derek, which we do not get a lot of. Very self-aware. Because this is amidst the whole Zola situation, which at the beginning of the episode, Meredith gets a call from Janet saying they pulled the court date and they didn't give her a reason. So she was basically, Janet essentially was like, you guys aren't getting this baby. You need to move on. Like, sorry, it is what it is. And so Meredith is obviously trying to process that, but she's also working. She tells Derek, and Derek's like, we'll figure it out. And she says, Zola was our baby. I don't want another baby. And so they have this, him and Christina, obviously being Meredith's support system, have this moment together where he's like, she doesn't, she didn't even want kids and I pushed her into this, and she opened herself up and fell in love with this child, and now she's lost this child and she's gonna blame me just like I've been blaming her, and I can't lose Zola and Meredith. And Christina kind of is like, no, it'll be okay, we'll figure it out. And it's a nice moment. And I have to give Derek props for actually being self-aware in this moment.
Yeah, when he, so I spoke a little bit too soon in my notes. But when he's sitting there and he's like, she'll blame me. And I wrote, like, you blame her for everything? Grow up. And then I press play and he said, like, I blame her. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. All right. Good job, yeah. Derek. Thank you. Because I was about to go full on Wicked Witch of the East on this guy. But that was a nice moment. And then I think Christine said she might need a minute to back away, but she comes back.
Yeah, she comes back. She might need a minute, but she always comes back or something like that. Yeah. So, and he's like, I did this to her. She's going to blame me like I've been blaming her, which again, I just thought that was a good moment and I wanted to make sure to call it out. I also like, we don't see a lot of Derek and Christina one-on-ones. And honestly, when we do,
haven't since the fishing episode, really, right?
No. And honestly, when we do, it's typically about Meredith outside of like the recovering from the PTSD from the shooting.
Yeah.
We get a lot of that that's central to Christina's storyline. But for the most part, I feel like a lot of them coming together is rallying around Meredith, which I like because they're just so different and they really wouldn't ever hang out otherwise. But they recognize that like they are her support. And so they know that when she needs it, they can come together and like be there for her and be what she needs. Unlike Owen,
who can suck on a booty hole.
Okay, so then Christina gets in the OR and she's like, oh, it took so long, let's time me. And Weber's like, all right, guys, bitches, start the clock. Christina, like during the surgery, is kind of like Richard's kind of having her talk him through it. Because he's saying, like, oh, I've never done this before and I want to learn. So, like, can you talk me through it and tell me how it all works? And so she's doing that. And he's like, that's neat. And then she like nicks an artery or something and his pressure starts to drop. And Owen is like panicking and runs in and tries to micromanage. And she's like, can you just calm the fuck down? Like, why are you freaking out in my OR? And Richard's like, it's fine. We've got it under control. You're doing a bad job with your secrecy.
Weber really does shine in this. Like, it's funny. I always love actors who are acting as people who are acting.
Yes.
And it was just so fun to watch those. Because, yeah, he does a lot of talking with his eyes. You can tell that Lexi's, like, stressed and she's trying to navigate. Like, I'm not going to say anything. I am full-on Switzerland. I'm going to stand over in this corner and not going to lie to anyone anymore because I have a mask covering my face.
Because I will be caught if I giggle.
So,
also, have you seen... You've seen all the Harry Potter movies, right?
Yes, I have.
Well, J.K. Rowling's a turf, and we hate her, but... In the seventh one.
What's a turf? Yeah,
trans exclusionary radical feminist. I'll explain it to you in a minute.
Okay.
She doesn't like trans people. Anyways,
I knew that.
So
I've never heard turf.
Yeah.
Like that.
So there's the scene where the backstory is Hermione has to take Polyjuice potion to be Bellatrix Lestrange to go into Gringotts and get into Bellatrix's vault. So in the movie, it's Helena Bonham Carter acting like Emma Watson, acting like Helena Bonham Carter. It's very good. She does a very good job.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that I really enjoy.
The layers, like an onion.
Like an onion. Goodness. You know, those movies, the last like two were pretty good.
The movies are really I could do without. They were fine. The books are better.
From what I've read of the books, the movies were way better.
You've read none of the books. So
I think I read the first six pages of Sorcerer's Stone.
That's true.
No, I remember actually I can tell you I read the first
six. Dr. Seuss didn't write it, so.
Well, in elementary school, remember the Pizza Hut book clubs? Remember those folks? reading a Harry Potter book was worth like 4 pan pizzas. So I tried to read it.
I would reread Harry Potter books so I could get like hundreds of points because I'd already read them. So I would just reread them.
Yeah. So that's what I tried, and I got 6 pages in, and I said, absolutely not. I cannot. This is torture. This is literal torture. So, yeah, I read 100 Dr. Seuss books to get one pan pizza.
You're such a fucking moron. Read a book.
I reread, you ever just like sit there and reread The Lorax? Man, that book.
That book is good as fuck. I actually really want to get a Lorax tattoo. I've wanted it for ages, and I've never gotten it.
I've also thought about getting a tattoo, and then I said, no, I have such a low pain threshold.
Yeah,
I would do a Lorax tattoo.
I would say unless. That would be my Lorax tattoo. Mm. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get any better. It's not.
Unless.
Anyways, okay. So the Christina Lexi Richard, they get the tumor that's like eroded through the artery, and Richard's like, we got to open him up. And Christina says, there's really not much we can do. Like we really don't need to. And he's like, get out. We got to open him. She's like, all right, fine. I'll go, whatever. So they open him up. They're working really hard. Christina's like, he's already lost half of his blood. What is wrong with that? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, there's no save here. Weber does CPR for 20 minutes. There's no blood left in Henry's body. He is a dead person. He is devoid of blood. He is devoid of a heartbeat. He is devoid of life. And so she calls time of death, and she's like, hey, could you like put a note on there that like it really wasn't my fault that he died? I didn't want to do it.
The scene.
And then she's like, so do we need to like talk to the family or what's going on? And she's like, why is everyone being a weirdo?
I did think when he like when he rolled over a little bit and the towel came off his face.
Yeah.
I thought that she was going to notice prior. She didn't.
Like during
obviously.
The surgery. Yeah. Cause it's weird that they make a point to like show that coming off. Cause I'm like, we know you don't need to remind us. We're stressed.
Right.
I'm upset.
We understand the assignment.
I don't need to be new upset. I'm still upset.
new upset. That's funny.
So they, she goes into the scrub room, and that's when Weber's just like standing there over Henry's body, and Owen tells Christina, and they make the choice to do no dialogue, just music. And Sandra Oh is a queen. Sandra Oh is incredible. The acting on her like receiving the news is heartbreaking. Just watching it is brilliant. Heartbreaking. It's too much.
Yeah, that scene. So I want to talk about that scene specifically for a minute here. Number one.
Yes, we had a lot of people on Discord very excited for your reactions to that scene specifically.
That scene, I think, honestly, a little bit more on the Weber side of things than Christina. Is kind of in the bucket of watching Teddy and Meredith like go no scrub, walking in heels into a surgery for an aortic dissection. Like there's something about that scene starting with Weber, the haunting, there's the music playing in the background. He knows, and he knows that Owen has to tell Christina that she just killed inadvertently. Right. She's not actually a murderer. She didn't. She's like not yearning for Henry to be dead.
Right.
She killed her mentor's husband. She killed the most important person to her husband's best friend. And there's so many ripple effects from this. And yeah, to your point, Sandra Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
When she like starts to kind of like hit him a little bit. And Owen goes in and just grabs her.
Like she just like collapses into him.
So many emotions, so many good layers of acting. Just incredible on this scene. I love that there's no dialogue. But I will tell you, they take you through a full range of emotion because they kind of make you pissed off at Christina for a second. When they're like, I don't like this was actually your plan and Teddy's plan. So like, I don't want to be in trouble because this wasn't like what I would have done. This wasn't my treatment plan. Also, this is a bad outcome. 50 years, you know how that is.
I think with that, it's more to remind us that she still doesn't know than to be like, ugh, what a terrible person. I think just like they're just hitting you in the face with be like, she still doesn't know because like she obviously would be upset. That
right.
Would not be friend of mine.
Yeah, but that's I think why like you're pissed off out of the ignorance. And I think that well, we all know how the world works. We get pissed off people who are ignorant regardless because ignorant people are ignorant. But she's not she's not doing it as malicious. She's in line with her character. It just sucks the context as you watch it. Us the audience knows she's the last person in the world to know that she operated on Henry. And that sucks. And it's I'm curious how she's going to handle that because that's kind of, it's a little bit of a betrayal of trust.
It's yes. And I actually railed on this for a while in the episode that I did without you and how it makes me really mad that everyone lied to her. And I understand like for the like purpose of plot and like I kind of understand like the thought process behind it, but I just hate how many people are involved in the lie because it's just like. I've never been like a fan of pranks. Not that this is a prank, but like that's what I would relate it to when it's like, oh, all these people are in and like they're gonna prank you. Ah, it's gonna be so funny. We're all gonna laugh. Even if it's like a quote unquote harmless prank, I'm like, it's mean. You're bullies. Stop. And it's just like so many people she trusts, like obviously Teddy, Owen, the chief, but also her husband, like Richard. Again, and I do feel like most people involved are conflicted about it, but after it's happened, it doesn't matter if they were conflicted about it. They still did it.
Right.
And also, like, obviously,
it was the best option. Best option that we saw.
Let's speak on that, because I don't know if that's true.
Well, that we saw. Here's, I guess, what I have a hard time understanding with this particular plot point. In a world where Derek, Mark, Addison, Burke, like these people are considered the best in the world almost, or top three of what they do, and they've existed in this TV show. We have people like Han. We have people that we haven't even met exist yet. Like why couldn't they have gotten in someone who is really good? Why couldn't they have used this as a time to bring back Han? Why couldn't they have used this as a time to do X, Y, and Z and introduce a new character? Why? Like, Christina just got over the Derek trauma. We don't think that this is going to unlock a whole new set of traumas for her writers. Yeah. I mean, it probably does.
They were probably like, how can we unlock a new set of trauma for her writers?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the other surgeons are bad. I understand Teddy being like, I want the best, and the best other than me is Christina. Like, I understand her having like intimate knowledge of Christina's ability to do this because she is teaching her to do this. And, I don't think that necessarily other people would be terrible. I just think that she has high standards, which is fine. It's her husband. But because she is so good, she has really high standards for other people. And she says like, the only thing I would want to do would be to do it myself, but I can't do that. So Christina is the next best thing. Like, I'm teaching her to be me. Let her do it. Let her be me. So I just don't, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, is it better to have Richard do it and just open him? Because I'm like, if he has a bajillion tumors, isn't it better to just open him and see them all and maybe scoop them all out instead of just like trying to get one? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know that I would do what, I don't know that I personally would want to do what Teddy did. And that was one of like the Discord questions was like, would you have it this way or would you have done something else? Like, should Owen have been like, hard no, pick a different choice?
I don't know that it's Owen's call at the end of the day. I think that he is as chief, as Teddy's friend, and as Christina's husband in the worst possible spot. That man, there is no winning in that threesome.
No, I think he could have overrode her demand to have Christina do it without knowing. He could have said, you can have her do it, but you have to tell her. Or he could have said, she's not doing it. That's insane.
Or, but yeah, but like, let's say either way, if he says, tell Christina, like, she can do it, but you have to tell her, and then she kills him, or he says, no, she can't do it, and then another person kills him. Or alternatively, what if Weber just did it the way he wanted to? Would he have died, right? Like, we'll never know in this alternate reality of, like, a hypothetical
kind of
show,
it,
like a fake
like
show.
Like, what Christina says is, he was dead before we started, like, because they didn't know that that tumor had eroded through his pulmonary artery, which is a pretty important artery. Yeah. So basically, there was going to be nothing they could have done. He would have died, surgery or not. So they kind of paint it like, oh, he was going to die regardless. But still, we've made it worse by getting people involved.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like it puts so much of the quote unquote fault on Christina to do it this way. I'm like, if you do it other ways, like, does it put the fault on other people? Like, someone, is anyone at fault? Because again, he was just going to die. Like, but people are going to feel at fault. It's just fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think Teddy kind of took advantage of the fact that, like, everyone knows her relationship with Christina. Everyone knows her relationship with Henry. And she's like, well, they'll do what I want because they know that it's a big deal. It's fine.
Yeah, there was, it didn't feel good all around. It definitely sucks. The shitty part following up with that is that Owen then goes to Teddy
and continues to lie. But at that point, it's like, what do you do? She's in the middle of a surgery. Like, if she freaks out and quits, then this woman also dies.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Because he goes and he's like, how much longer do you have? And she's like, ugh, who fucking knows? Jackson's trying to
so
murder
much.
This girl.
It's as if we just started, Owen. It's like, who knows what time even means in our reality, right?
Every time her heart beats, it's bad. I'm like, oh, good. Because people's heart be beating a lot.
It's true. When she says, go check on him for me, would you? And I'm like, this is just so hard. And he knows, obviously.
And he's like, why don't you let me take over and you can go check on Henry? And she's like, respectfully, you're an idiot and you cannot do this surgery.
Yeah.
She's like, cool, 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 cool.
With all due disrespect.
With all due respect, which is none.
Yeah. With the scene after that, I think it's pretty soon after that where Owen and Weber are in the room.
Going back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, and Owen's like, I gotta tell her. And Weber's like, what is another hour gonna hurt? And when this like truly is incredible cinema. When he is like, right now, you're not her friend. You're the chief of surgery.
Yeah.
And he goes, Owen goes, she'll never forgive me. And Weber hits him with, her husband just died in our OR.
Yeah.
She'll never forgive any of us.
Yeah.
That is so potent to me.
Yeah, I also had that written down. That's like one of my standouts for sure from this episode. And he says, like, you're not her friend right now. You're only the chief. And like, this is where it gets shitty and you just have to like do it. Like, what's the other outcome? Yeah. Like, yeah, you feel shitty because you're waiting, but you tell her to make you not feel shitty and this other person dies. Like, how many people need to die in this scenario? Like, for us to feel okay. Like, there's no winning. Everything's terrible.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. It's sad.
Let's, I mean, okay. So that's kind of, do you have anything else you want to say on the Henry murder? Murder,
no,
to clarify, not by Christina, by Shonda.
Yes. The last thing I would say is, you know, when Owen goes back in, you could tell that he's very sad. And I think at one point she even is like, why are you being so weird? Like, why do you look like
Teddy
that?
Teddy says, like, why is your face like that?
Yeah.
She knows him.
And that's, I think, when he says Meredith and Alex are stranded or something like that. And he doesn't lie about Henry, but he lies about what's actually eating Gilbert Grape. And when they say that they got good margins, lie. And when she says, this could ruin the next 5 to 10 years of my life, because she's, oh, that's right. She says, can you go tell him to not go to med school? And then he comes back and Teddy asks Owen, so did you talk to him about med school? And he goes, nope. And she goes, you little whimsical. You're a little turd.
You're a coward.
You're a coward. Little does she know that it's not just going to be the next 5 to 10 years of her life. Her whole life. It's everything is terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, that, man, sad. It's all sad. It's all poopy magoopy.
Mm-hmm. If that ain't the truth.
Was there anything else you had for the Henry storyline?
Not off top of mind. I just hate the lies. The depth of the conspiracy bums me out. The level of involvement.
It goes all the way to the top.
It's a bummer.
Trickle down conspiranomics.
She would have been like, fuck, you guys cannot do this to her. She would have put an end to it.
Yeah.
But she wasn't there, so she couldn't save her friend.
Wait, who'd you say wasn't there?
Meredith. Like,
yes.
Meredith didn't know what was happening, because I do think if Meredith had been aware, she would have been like, no, that's, like, a really bad idea.
Couldn't have made up a worse idea, everyone.
I mean, let's go ahead and have you make a prediction on who is going to tell Teddy.
I think either Owen or Weber is going to tell Teddy, but here's an actual, a real prediction. These are all real predictions. This is not a off the cuff prediction. I don't see a way for Christina and Teddy to move forward with their relationship after this, because there's no trust now. Even if it was the best choice, and even if logically, like, there's a lot of things that make sense where Teddy's coming from, of she's a workhorse, like, put it in front of her. She needs to be able to disassociate. Let's not put that pressure on her. The pressure was on her, okay? Everything terrible has happened. And also, Teddy's mentee just killed her husband. Mm-hmm. I think that this is the start of the transition of Teddy leaving the show, and I don't see a world where Teddy is in this show come the end of the season. So if this is the mid-season finale, how many episodes are in season 8?
I think 23 or 24.
Yeah, by episode 20, I think Teddy's gone. Like, maybe she'll slowly transition, maybe even the next 5 episodes, but it just feels like she's not going to be here very much longer.
24 episodes in the season.
Which is sad, because I think I just started to finally come around on Teddy. But I don't see her moving forward in the show with this kind of level of trust and heartbreak. Or maybe that's the whole point. Maybe the whole point is to give both of them trauma to work through, and that's the whole plot line. But I don't know. I don't see them. I don't see her sticking around.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that was my main question, is who tells her.
Yeah, it's either Weber or Owen.
Kind of just what happens with Christina.
Yeah, that one I don't know. That one's tough.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll end that storyline here, and we'll pick up the next episode with everybody's favorite segment.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.